Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for January 2019.
The whole month?
Yeah.
You've really gotten bad at dates. And you used to give the exact date every...
Well, but aren't we doing this before we're going to put it up? So doesn't the date not even matter?
It matters.
Am I supposed to say the date?
It's the day before Epiphany. It's Epiphany Eve.
But we're going to put it up the day after Epiphany, so... Everything is bad and wrong.
Right. We will be appearing to you all on the day after Epiphany.
The day after Epiphany, which still counts as Epiphany.
Yeah.
The larger question
It's really is, a long... Okay, so Christmas is 12 days, and then Epiphany is how many weeks? Is it... What?
Well, Easter is late, so Epiphany is going to go on for seeming forever.
Yeah, so you have this long... And Epiphany is supposed to be another feast season, so you have a long period of eating and drinking.
I don't care. I'm not eating anymore.
You shouldn't diet on Epiphany. That's irreligious.
I'm dieting on Epiphany.
You're not a Christian.
I'm not eating any more carbs, any more sugar. I'm eating a lot of vegetables and a little bit of protein.
The children are upset because there's no more eggnog in the stores.
The stores. Just,
they took them off the shelves as soon as New Year's Day was over.
No, it was before New Year's, I think.
So
I think that's fair because at some point somebody has to step in and it might as well be... big grocery who says you've had enough, it's time for you to stop.
We're taking away your eggnog.
You don't need any more eggnog. Yeah, so we didn't podcast for 2 weeks because we had things to do.
We had, my parents came in, which was very nice, and then we had people over for Christmas, and
so we just didn't pull our lives together. And we also did not return to the question of Mary and the Elizabeth as her dream catcher or whatever.
No, see, Mary, the last thing we did was we were reviewing a sermon on how Mary, having conceived baby Jesus in her womb as a virgin, or God, you know, conceiving Jesus in her womb as she was a virgin, is really about you having God dreams.
God conceives a dream in you, which is so creepy.
Yeah, well, and then you need to go make sure that you don't go to somebody who's going to crush your God dream. You need to go to somebody like Elizabeth. This one has an Elizabeth anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a special anointing to affirm whatever God dream God has implanted. Impregnated you with.
Oh my gosh. So even though Advent is over.
How do you know? What's the difference between I'm sorry, let me interrupt you. What's the difference between a God? How do you know whether you're having a God dream?
I don't think you should ask that question. I think you just you blab your God dream and grab your God dream. Like, does it really matter who it's from? I don't think it matters. You just go with your feelings, your gut feelings about that.
And if you have an idea that hey, this is a God dream, that he must have been at work here.
Well,
and the result is this God dream that I have.
I think it's creepy and wrong. But because we made promises, just like Israel promised to God to follow the law, we are keeping our promise of finishing this sermon, even mm-hmm. though it's way past the liturgical time that we should do that. So
it's not really because Epiphany is all about appearing, the appearance of the God dream to the world, and Mary in this sermon is about Mary's visit to Elizabeth, revealing and Jesus being revealed to Elizabeth, and
it's totally the same thing.
Yeah, totally the same. And we're at the point, I think, in the sermon where
it's going to, like, widen out and...
Well, he's telling us not to go to people who are going to crush our God dreams. And then Mary hasn't actually made it to Elizabeth yet, but he's just... The application point is...
Don't give up?
Well, no, don't go to people who crush your God dreams.
You
find Elizabeth-anointed people.
Okay.
Listen to the certain technique or something.
Yeah. All right.
Or is going to be filled with the Spirit, experiencing the same miraculous life that God is putting into me. And I want that person to stir me up to believe, not just with a little belief and a little doubt, but fully believe
what's about to happen in me.
That's what Elizabeth
was
supposed
to do. So Mary goes to Elizabeth. It's like, well, who could I go to that might, you know, stir me up? How about the one who also had an angel show up to her husband and speak to them, who also is dealing with a pregnancy that is pretty bizarre, who also had a promise from God show up? I'm going to go to her. I want to know, who do you go to?
It's just like, it would be so great if he had a text so that all of the words were in a good sentence. Because he's just sort of... This is in the way that a lot of modern preaching is. You just sort of wander around verbally in a morass of bad grammar and strange thinking, instead of writing a sentence that is worth being heard by other human people who also use English. So I just wanted to point that out.
Well, you know, it is... Now, one could argue that he's being like Paul here. tends to have long
but, Paul's,
but they don't wander.
No, they don't wander, and if you wanted to diagram them, you could do that because they have sentence, they have structure, and even though they are running on with no end in sight and no punctuation, they logically build phrase by phrase.
Okay, but with all your rational thinking and logical, you know, put words together that make sense, you're missing the whole point of the sermon.
Okay.
Which is, again, you know, when you're looking, when you have a dream in your heart, who do you go to? You need to go to someone who has also had a conception of a dream in their heart from God.
So the thing is that I don't get that. God never, ever gives me dreams in my heart, so... I cannot emotionally.
You don't know. You just haven't been looking for that. You have just been dismissing your dreams as if they're any old dreams. When in fact,
no, I'm sinning.
You've not. You probably even thought about is this. You haven't said to yourself, "Self, is this a God dream, or is this just a regular?"
Because I don't say self. Okay.
You're not looking into the inner depths of your mind and heart enough.
When you're trying to figure out what God is doing in your life, who do you go to?
The Bible.
So she goes.
That's stupid. Don't go to the Bible.
Spirit. I just love that moment, by the way. John the Baptist sees Jesus through two tummies.
Technically, he doesn't see him.
And he's like, "Woo! There's Jesus! Yes!"
Oh, my gosh. No. No. That's not good.
He was happy. He leapt.
Don't scream like that, though, because that's so awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
We know when John the Baptist later on sees Jesus, and he's baptizing people. There he is, you know. I picture someone like, pull me up, John. But John.
What?
Again, so what's better when you're going through the scriptures to, like, try to go back and put yourself into the mind and shoes and situation of the people who wrote the scripture, rather than dragging them forward into your speech patterns and 21st century screaming. Because John wouldn't have said that. In fact, it says what he said in the scripture.
You've got to contextualize. You've got to make it so that people can understand. Because people don't understand baby leaping in the womb. That's way too... Old-timey. But they understand. Wow.
Okay, sorry.
Sees Jesus later on, says it's the Lamb of God. There he
the
is.
What?
And here in this moment,
the Lamb.
He's in the womb.
The Slam
Jesus
of God.
Is in the womb. And he hears Jesus' mother speaking. And John goes, "Woo-hoo! It's all happening.
Oh
I can't
gosh.
Believe it. Here we are." And Elizabeth gets filled with the Spirit. What a moment. Because Mary doesn't come in and go, "Hey, Elizabeth, check it out. Here's what God is doing." She comes in and it just says she greets Elizabeth. And in fact, her last words that we hear aren't all that inspiring. "I am the Lord's servant. May the word of to me be fulfilled."
What? That's not inspiring? Yeah, that's flabbergasting because those are some of the most
what
poignant words in the scripture. It's the first like, time anybody sort of without sobbing and crying and arguing says,
right.
without like severe trauma, okay. Like, Mary is the only person who doesn't argue back or run away or yeah. cry or, you know, bargain. She just says the words that you're supposed to say when you get your God dream.
And in biblical categories, this is like, Mary's words are like unto Abraham saying, or Abraham believing God, and God counting it to him as righteousness.
But it's not that inspiring.
But
no, I'm not very inspired right now. I don't feel
See, this is what I don't, okay. This is another problem. I'm gonna tell everyone what's wrong with him. So if you were wondering what's wrong with you, let me tell you.
Okay.
When I ask people who I love and know very well, why aren't you reading your Bible? Because they'll come to me.
And they're sad and stressed out.
And I've told you this many times. The first thing I'll ask is, okay, well, how often do you read your Bible? And almost uniformly, the answer is, well,
I'm not feeling it.
Once every week or maybe when I come to church. Okay, well, how often are you praying? Well,
It's hard to pray. I don't really want to.
And I just want to tear my hair out because, see, it doesn't. And the reason why is because they're not getting the feely feelings. The tingly feelings when they're reading their Bible. Right, they're not. I'm not inspired by Leviticus 10. I don't feel my tinglies going when I'm praying using this discipline. Remember that thing we were reading yesterday?
The meme that I eviscerated?
If you aren't feeling it, then the beauty of God and the identity of God's power is totally lost.
Yeah, God's power has no identity, as if that's even a thing.
So you better start feeling it. you better gin up those feelings.
So when Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord; let it be to me according to His word,"
this guy didn't get his tinglies.
He didn't. Get...
So it's not inspiring. It's not inspired. It might be inspired, but that's not the important thing. Is it inspiring? Who cares objectively whether or not God actually breathed those words out through Mary?
They're stupid words.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least, you know, maybe one day they will tingle me, but they're not tingling me now. So read your Bible and pray. Don't just worry about your feelings.
Hello, Elizabeth. That's not like a moment.
Oh my
gosh,
Elizabeth, stop screaming.
Turns it into that moment. The Holy Spirit comes into her, speaks to her, makes her baby jump inside of her, fills her with the Spirit, and here she comes. I love this. In verse 42, it says, in a loud voice, she exclaimed. I don't know if I've always paid attention to that, but I sure did this time. Because Elizabeth's job here isn't just to confirm. She's not here for just confirmation. She's here for celebration. She's not just here to say, I believe that is true, Mary. Very good. Yes, the Son of God is inside of you. She's there to say, I just got to tell you, I am pumped for all of history. I am pumped, not just for you, but for the rest of the world from here to come. I'm pumped for Courtney, British Columbia 2018. I'm pumped for what's going to happen because of this. I'm pumped because everyone's going to discover Christmas from here on out. She's not just here to confirm the work of the good God in your life. She's here to celebrate.
That would be way too liturgical. If Elizabeth said something like, I'm here to confirm the work of God in your life, I mean, that would be like boring. That would be like, I don't know, going to an Anglican liturgy service. You know, but if she says, I'm pumped, which is clearly how you would translate that text. That's what it says in the Greek.
I don't understand why it has to be a wall of noise. This is one reason why if I had to go to a church like this, I wouldn't be able to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. I'd have to go be, you know, agnostic. I was trying to think of a cool religion. Baha'i. I just wouldn't be able to do it. I'd have to be alone with my Bible in nature. It's probably why people sort of drift away and decide that they're more able to worship God in nature.
Yeah, no, if this were the only option, I think I would be.
His arms are out, and he's just a wall of noise,
and he's screaming. Okay, now there's some really tragic things about this, because Because the tragedy is that this could be good because one, he does have his Bible open, and two, he's walking through the text verse by verse.
That's true. That's
you know, he's true. Doing these things that you should do, but he's doing it to strip mine the text to help you get your dreams on, you know. It's tragic because it's right that he has all the elements there that he could use.
That he could if he wanted to
have a good sermon out of this.
But he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
What you haven't yet learned to celebrate because you're still battling the faith and the doubt, but no longer after this moment. And Elizabeth says in a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women." How many women are standing in that room too? You know what Elizabeth says
in her
first meeting with
this
young girl?
Well, she's not anymore, though.
Blessed are you amongst us too. More so than me, you are blessed. More favored than me, you are blessed. And she's not like, "Oh, Mary, you get all the fun stuff. I've been waiting way longer than you. I had to be called the barren one, you know." She doesn't say, "You're so young and you didn't even have to try for this. Not fair." She says, "Wow, woman, you are blessed among women. That's us too. You are blessed. In other words, compared to me and you, you are blessed." That's a huge statement for Elizabeth to make. You know why? Because Elizabeth is probably living out the most exciting stage of her life right now. Because for years she's been outcasted as the barren woman. Oh, the priest's wife, she can't have kids. You may think that doesn't happen, but that happens. Or people look at especially pastors' wives and priests' wives and say, "Oh, this and what about this and what about this and what about this and what about this?" Elizabeth's been living under that for a long time.
What?
Actually, this is a great point. I can get on board with this. Everything he said right now is like 100%. That's true.
You are in an odd category as pastor's wife because your people consider you both like unto the pastor and also not the pastor. So you better keep your nose out of certain things, but you should know all things.
Yeah,
and,
you must know all things. But also, I do think like the angst over, you know, if you've been trying to have a baby for a long time and then somebody comes along and has a baby without any trouble, it's actually hard that's actually a thing, you know. I think that's painful for people, not clergy, but if you have struggled with infertility your whole life and then you have to go to the baby shower of a young woman who didn't have any trouble getting pregnant or doesn't have a husband.
Mm-hmm.
It's painful to do that. This is a fair point. This is actually good getting into the sort of the emotional life of maybe Mary and the fact that Elizabeth is just so rejoicing is remarkable. That's miraculous because women don't, just like men, are not joyful when they should be joyful. You know,
I don't know. You know, okay.
You could do this in a sermon, is what I'm saying. Without the screaming.
I don't know because the, you know, Elizabeth is joyful. It kind of transcends all that because Mary has Yahweh.
That's what
in
I'm
her
saying,
womb, right?
So this, it is. It
wouldn't
speaks
be like
to the miracle of it, though, is what I'm saying. Like, one way that you can know that this is divine is because Elizabeth is happy about Mary.
And right, but that's not the use he's using it with.
You're right.
He's taking this and saying, all right, well, you need to find people like Elizabeth who are going to rejoice over your God dreams. He's not pointing out that the reason Elizabeth is so overjoyed is that she recognizes her Lord.
Right. I agree with you. I'm just saying he's seen something.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good preaching moment that he is now about to destroy.
Right.
And it's a great application, too, because, you know, you could, for all the people sitting there who are unhappy about their lot in life, mm-hmm. they could have been invited into the text and been convicted and then restored and healed. Instead, we're going to just double down on our own selfishness.
And there's a biblical precedent for that. Rejoice when others rejoice.
Yeah.
And
so it's interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. In some way.
For many, many years, Zechariah's like, do you guys not pray enough? Do you not have enough faith? Why aren't you having your baby yet? For years and years and years, Elizabeth had to walk through that.
Oh. No, people in ancient years were not saying you aren't praying enough, you don't have enough faith. That's a modern 21st century word of faith heresy.
They had a different heresy, Elizabeth and Zechariah had sinned badly.
Right.
And did not, God was punishing them.
Right. It was a covenant curse coming on them because they were wicked people. That not that they didn't pray hard enough or believe enough for God's miracle to be birthed in their hearts.
Over and over, she had to experience that. Finally, now God shows up as an angel for the first time.
God has spoken 400 years. God did not show up as an angel.
That's awesome.
God sent God the angel.
God showed up as an angel.
No.
I'm just going to say things now.
I mean, God has in the past, the angel of the Lord appeared to people in the form of an angel, or what they understood to be an angel in the Old Testament. But this angel had a name. Gabriel, and it was an angel.
It was his God dream.
Right.
Here's as far as we can tell biblically, and here all of a sudden this moment comes, an angel comes and speaks to Zechariah and says, your wife, who's been called the barren one, who's lost all sense of respect in her community, that woman who's been marginalized and outcast, she's going to have a baby, and that baby is going to speak to the world about the one to come.
He doesn't need to scream that.
And there's Elizabeth experiencing that. Now the talk of the town the other way. Wow. What a woman. Wow. You waited all this time. What faith you must have had. You stood in such strength. I can't believe you kept to it. I can't believe you kept at it. You've got the miraculous child in you. God has done a miracle in you. Wow, Mary, this is so special. Imagine how she must feel Elizabeth, this is so special. Imagine how she must have felt now when this young whippersnapper comes and steals her thunder. Imagine how much comparison would kill this moment.
You know, I just don't think that's the way she was feeling. I don't feel like
I agree with you.
I think that's not quite.
Because
it's God.
If you had in your congregation like a bunch of people who are super jealous of each other, you could point out in the text that Elizabeth is happy for Mary.
You could say, God does bless people with certain things, and you should be happy when God blesses people with certain things. That's different than saying, anyway, your God
does. But actually, what's interesting about this moment is that both Mary and Elizabeth are excited about God.
Right.
And John. They're all excited because they've been waiting for Yahweh. They've been waiting for the Messiah for, what, you know, millennia.
Right.
And
here he is.
He comes. They've literally been waiting for this moment their whole lives.
And all of Israel.
And it's going to happen. And that's why they're happy.
So are you saying this sermon could be about the
God?
Coming of the Messiah?
Maybe. And Jesus. But I mean, I guess that's stupid. So never mind.
How much contempt you would start to have for this Mary. Put in your time, woman.
What?
You put in your time. You wait. This didn't require faith. This didn't require hard work.
Yeah. Wait, what? Oh, so we're having faith heresy here.
Wait, when did...
It's awesome.
Elizabeth didn't have faith.
Yeah.
And the whole point, and now that Zechariah and Elizabeth did not have their baby because of their faith.
No, they did. They had enough faith power. And God finally blessed them
because
of their awesome faith power.
The only indication they had faith was when Gabriel says, your prayers have been answered. But Elizabeth being long barren most likely means that Zechariah's prayers for her to have a baby were long ago. It wasn't like Zechariah kept praying when Elizabeth's 85 and barren, unable to have babies. Oh, Lord, please give us a baby. There's no indication of that. The idea is God heard his prayers long ago, and he's answered them. So Elizabeth would not be thinking, I've had a lot of faith all my life that I'm going to have a baby, and I finally got a baby, and you didn't have
any faith. You didn't do anything for baby. You didn't
even... faith isn't like the check that you write that accesses the bank account in heaven, which is where he's going to go. That's the idea behind this.
This didn't require getting working through humiliation and figuring this out. No, Elizabeth doesn't say that once. In a loud voice, she proclaims, "Blessed are you."
Oh, please stop that.
Above all. See, Elizabeth knows her son's job. Just earlier in Luke, here's what the angel had said to Elizabeth's husband Zechariah about their son John. Luke 1:16-17 says, "He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Elizabeth would have been honored to have been having the baby who was going to prepare the way
for that's the Lord. Right.
That would have been an amazing thing. Imagine everyone in town saying, "Wow, you get to play that story. I wonder
when
the
been
Lord
breathless,
will
though.
Be. I wonder when the Lord will come. Your child is going to prepare the way for the Lord. I wonder what that's going to look like. And when we'll see that baby. I can't believe your baby gets to play a role in that." And then her relative shows up and says, "Well, actually, here's the Lord. My baby's better."
That.
Elizabeth would have known the very existence of her baby was to point to the existence of Mary's.
Yes, so that's why she
and
wouldn't have been all that jealous.
Elizabeth hears Mary walk in, the Spirit fills her, and in a loud voice she proclaims, "Blessed are you!" What a woman.
Okay, it's so repetitive.
I almost called this sermon, "Pregnant Prophets Produce Praise." We're still thinking about it.
He's so
loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are
breaths.
You among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ear, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Now Mary's showing up in the door, and I know that she said she believed. I know that she said to the angel, "Okay, if that's the case, then I'm going to follow through on this, and I'm going to believe for it." But she's going
No, she didn't believe for it. It wasn't a matter of Mary believing for Jesus to be conceived. No, if Mary had absolutely no believing, Gabriel was announcing to her what was going to happen objectively. You're going to have the Son of God. And Mary said, "Okay, let it be done to me according to your word." But she didn't believe for it. Right? That phraseology just drives me insane. You're not believing for anything. That suggests that, again, your belief is like a check that you write that God has to cash if you just believe hard enough for it. You just believe what God said. That's what she did. God said through Gabriel, "I'm going to give you a baby. You're going to be a virgin. He's going to be my son." Mary says, "All right."
No. Because this big sign on the way to the church on the side of the school says, "Believe it, achieve it." And that's what this is. If you believe it, then you can achieve it. That's how it works. You have to believe it. You have to. It's all on you.
Are you believing for for God to be born into you?
Yeah.
I'm
believing it.
Because she's still got a little bit of wondering in her heart. She still wants to go and just see. She wants to go and recognize
that's
the miracle.
True.
She wants to go process this a bit. She wants to go spend some time with someone else who's heard from an angel. And so she goes to that place, and Elizabeth doesn't say, "So what do you think? You kind of in? Is this pretty exciting or what?" She says, "I'm here not just to confirm the work that God is doing. I'm here to celebrate what you're barely believing for. I'm here to push your little
bit
belief."
But the text doesn't say that.
I
mean, yes.
Belief. I'm here to stand.
Yes, Mary went to go get confirmation, but there's no sense that she's barely believing it or that she was hardly understanding. I mean, she went down because she wanted to have comfort, yes, and confidence, yes, and confirmation, yes, but there's no barely believing and hardly holding on to a dream. That's not
behind you and push you on and encourage you on. I'm here to say that if my baby's entire existence is to talk about your babies, I am honored to do it, and I will do everything I can, Mary, so that you grow and thrive and learn and believe in Jesus through this time.
Okay.
Part of Mary's discovery of Christmas is meeting with this older woman who's saying, "I believe in miracles, and I see one in front of me." Mary.
Discovering Christmas.
I'm proud of you.
I want to discover Christmas.
I love that moment. What happens to Mary? You know, when the angel spoke to Mary, you remember her language, what she said to the angel. Okay, if that's the way it is, if that's what's going to happen, your will be done. You don't say your will be done. There's not an easy way to say the exciting thing. No, and rarely do people say, your will be done, yay! It's usually like, okay, my will is not in the mix, but if I'll do your will, then that's okay. But here, she doesn't end the time with the angel praising God and celebrating. No, but here,
don't read stuff into the text there. So he's contrasting. He's making a contrast that's not there. You don't know what else Mary said or did or how she was feeling because the text doesn't say.
Well, I think the point is that, okay, so God will give you a dream and you might not understand that it's really a good dream until you meet your Elizabeth who communicates to you that your dream is good, and that will cause you to sing the Magnificat.
So the whole sermon is built on his... Right. Reading something into the text that he thinks might feel if it was him, if he was Mary. And he was disappointed.
That would be.
And he was like, oh, right, let it be to me according to your word. And then he needed to hustle down.
Yeah.
Like, he's not.
I'm no doubt it was a frightening and worrisome time. You know, what's going to happen to me? What's Joseph going to think? Where is my village going to come down on this? Where's my parents going to think about this? And no doubt it's a great comfort and confirmation to see Elizabeth, but we don't know the barely believing part or the sorrowful part or the okay your will be done part. That's all reading
that
stuff
when it's
in
not
this.
Yeah, there. Yeah. There's no indication actually that Mary was, disappointed. Actually, that is absolutely not in the text.
Certainly scared.
Yeah.
I think you probably say.
But even that, it doesn't say that she's scared. So we can sort of look at it and imagine how we would feel, but we don't actually know if she was scared because it doesn't say.
After she meets with Elizabeth, this older woman who calls out the belief in her and calls out the faith and calls out the prophetic movement that God is doing in her and calls out the discovery of Christmas that she's doing, here Mary bursts into song. Her first words to Elizabeth are, hello, Elizabeth, nice to see you. Elizabeth leaps, her baby leaps. She's filled with the Spirit. She said, blessed are you. How did you even get here? How do I deserve to be with you? You are among me and you are so blessed.
He's
I can't believe
stop
it.
Stop repeating
I can't
himself.
Wait to see it. And you are so good that you believed. Yes. And Mary bursts into song and it says, my soul glorifies.
Elizabeth also didn't say, you are so good that you believed.
Yeah, that's.
She said, blessed are you.
Yeah.
Who believed the word that was spoken to her. And the idea there is that God has graced her with this faith that she has, and it's a sign of God's blessing on her that she believes. It's not the other way around. Not she's good and so blessed is she because she's good. That's not what
Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done.
Yeah, and that's how she just a wall of noise. So Mary, blessed Mary, screams.
The 14-year-old girl.
Or maybe it was one of the more aesthetically beautiful times in human history. We weren't there. The words themselves are so beautiful and so overturning of the cosmos and the order of human the human way of conceiving of reality. It's one of the foundational moments of the gospel narrative, and these are the words for the Christian that you should memorize and know. But the way that they are spoken here is aesthetically really, really disappointing.
Yeah, Mary, young girl, already has internalized and memorized the prayer of Hannah and the numerous psalms, and so
like,
it comes out of her
other parts of the Bible.
Right,
she
it comes out of
knows.
Her words are reflections of the summation of these great songs throughout the Old Testament, and then she says, and she preaches the gospel. God lifts up the lowly. God takes those who are humble and who know themselves to be nothing and raises them to high places. And he's doing that through Jesus. That's the whole point of the Magnificat, is that God has come to take the poor in spirit and who know themselves to have nothing and raise them up in Jesus and give them all things. And for those who are proud and refuse him, he's going to cast them down. That's a great gospel passage, yeah. But it's nope. Let's see what he says with him about it.
Great things for me. Holy is his name. I love this. I don't know what Elizabeth is doing in the moment. I just picture her like just praising, you know. Go, come on, amen. He's throwing out some of those that we don't usually do here on Sundays, but if all of a sudden Mary shows up and starts saying those things, we better be an amen in church. She says, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble.
He's actually reading the text of the Magnificat, and I think he should get points for that.
Absolutely, that doesn't happen.
He actually has read whole portions of this scripture. He's not paraphrasing it his own words. He's shouting it, but he's actually reading it.
Yeah.
And so some of these people have probably never heard these words before and may never hear them again. But for one church, one Sunday, the miracle of Christmas was that somebody read the Magnificat out loud.
That is good. You're right. All along we should say for him, we should give him credit for actually working through a Bible text.
Yeah.
It's just that the application of the Bible text is
Is there's so many problems with it that he did read the Bible in church. So,
filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. And Mary comes to Elizabeth with some complexities, probably with some questions, looking for a little faith boost.
No.
And by the end of the time, the two of them are celebrating the work of God and celebrating what God is up to, celebrating the great things that God is going to do, full of the Spirit, excited, passionate about this reality. Mary still has all the exact same things in front of her. She's got to figure out how to walk this out with her fiance, who she's never been intimate with and yet is pregnant. She's got to figure out how to talk to her family about this. She's got to figure out how to deal with all of her friends and all the community and all the ridicule that's going to come. She's got to figure out how to deal with all the doubts. But in this moment, Elizabeth has elevated her to the place of saying, celebrate the work of God. He's lifted up the humble, and even a woman who meant really nothing in the book of history that anyone is going to look at in the future, that woman will now be spoken of thousands of years later because Jesus showed up in her life.
Yeah.
God did something to her. And she chose Elizabeth. Elizabeth, filled with the Spirit, shouted her to the place of belief and faith.
What? No, she didn't shout her to the place of belief and faith. That's not what.
To the point where Mary could sing. That's why we should have called it Pregnant Prophets Produce Praise. Because this woman produces praise in Mary through the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's just not a thing. Like, the thing that he just said there is, in fact, not a thing to say.
Because what produced the Magnificat in Mary was the Holy Spirit. Mary was being a prophet at that point. She was speaking the words of God. And it wasn't Elizabeth inspiring her. It was the Holy Spirit inspiring. Now, granted, she was very happy, I'm sure, having heard that. Having heard Elizabeth's words and having that confirmation, but it was these are scriptural words, so the source
why
of
we
them
still read them
are
church.
Right is God.
Amazing. I'm so thankful for this story in the Bible. Worship team, you could come and join me.
Uh-oh, here comes the music. Right, wait, so this is the classic.
Wait, is that the, like, that's the end of the sermon?
Well, it's going to be in a minute. But see, the when the worship team comes up, that's in this is the part of the liturgy of the Sunday, because that's when they start playing the music so the Holy Spirit can come. Because until they play the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Spirit doesn't come.
So you have to have the tinkly music in the background. That starts making you feel weepy, and then he's going to call them to commit to something.
Oh, okay.
This is the come to make whatever. A commitment moment, right?
I think there are a couple responses to a message like this. The first one.
Well, I have one.
For those of you who have God has conceived something within you, conceived a dream within you, put something of past.
No.
So the first response is not repent and turn to Jesus. The first response is, what is the conceived God dream in you? And in a minute, we're going to have people singing or playing tinkly guitar music in the back, so you can kind of think through where your God dreams are. And I think I should have that. I think when I get toward the end of my sermon, I should say, Michael, come on up and start playing. Or Liz, come on up and start playing softly behind.
See, that's not how our organ works. Our organ will, like, drown you out. Yeah, yeah. And that will be the end of your God dream.
Put a new desire in your heart. Put something that takes faith to believe in. If you put something like that in you, for some of you, you've gone to the wrong people, the wrong counsel.
Oh, so you need to
You've asked the wrong
repent.
Ones about whether or not that's true. You've gone to them, said, God's stretching my imagination. And they're like, well, who's God? Yeah, fair enough. Never mind. You go, oh, God's asking me to give up a few things in life. Well, why would you do that? Live for yourself. You only live once. Well, God's asking me to start to share a little bit with some friends about Jesus. Ah, that's going to be awkward. Why don't you just live it out instead? Don't worry about opening your mouth. And we shut some of the dreams that God's given us. We get in a moment like this and God starts speaking.
Okay, I'm sorry. Evangelism is never going to be a dream that God, like, you're never going to wake up in the morning and be like, I just really want to share the good news of Jesus with a stranger today.
Some people do. Okay. Some people do. Like Daryl.
Yeah,
that
but they stop naming our parishioners on that. Gosh, man, you're Alexa, you're going to compromise everybody's online security. Now, but you, okay, yes, you do have, there is desire that comes into being. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to use the words of pregnancy and conception.
God in pregnancy with a desire.
As Christians, there should be some desire, and there's the will
to
do
things.
And there's
that
a
God...
war. There's the war that goes on where you feel like your feelings are definitely involved. You want to do something, or you don't want to do something. You know that God wants you to do something, you don't want to do it, and you're bending your will to the revealed will of God in the scripture, and absolutely do your desires come into to play. And you will find that you do want to do sometimes some of the things that God wants you to do.
Right.
But it's not usually tingly, and it's not usually like there's no dream, and there's no music that plays in the background when you're obeying God.
Right.
In a small,
but see, he, by
way.
His talking about obedience, he's not just talking about, okay, I want to go out and do evangelism. Earlier in the sermon, he's talking about, you want to, move from here to there, get this job, do this thing, start a business. Right? Those are things that, you might want to do, which is great. But there's no locating those as or identifying those as God dreams. Those are just things you want to do, which is fine. If they're not violating scripture, just do them. And you don't have to find somebody who's going to affirm every whim that you have, affirm every quote-unquote desire that you have. You want to start a business, you don't have to look for someone with Elizabeth anointing to give you...
If you want to tell somebody about Jesus, you don't need somebody with an Elizabeth anointing to confirm your inclination that you should be telling somebody in your life about the merciful work of the cross. You should go ahead and do that. You don't even need to pray for guidance.
And if you have a desire to do something that's not in the Bible, like start a business, you probably do want to find people who not only are going to affirm you, but someone who might give you some...
Tell you not to if it's a bad idea.
Right.
Wouldn't you want an objective knowledge?
No, but see, but the whole framework of the sermon is that's bad, because you're finding people who don't have the Elizabeth anointing, and they're going to crush your God dream.
Do it. to us. Oh, yes, I'm ready. I can do it. I feel something being conceived within me. And then we go out and we make sure that
that's
we
really
get
creepy.
Wise counsel from
that is really
doubters,
creepy.
And we just allow them to put it to rest for us. The counsel often determines whether you're going to put something to rest or you're going to let it rise. Put a dream to rest or let it live. Let it wake up. Elizabeth wakes Mary up.
No.
Mary's heard from an angel, yes. She said she believes, yes. But Elizabeth, she says it just differently, doesn't she?
Elizabeth is better than Gabriel. Clearly. God messed up by sending Gabriel. He should have sent her. You know, he should.
Elizabeth. That makes more sense.
And start believing. Stop trusting in the Lord to lead you through these dark days and start believing.
Can you hear that?
You're bringing light to the whole world.
Stop trusting in the Lord to lead you and start believing? As if those two things are what? Stop trust. That is the dumbest thing that I've heard in 2019.
Stop trusting in Jesus and believe.
Oh my gosh.
Here we are. All of a sudden, Mary's singing.
You hear that?
Songs.
That's the Holy Spirit. That's what he sounds like when he comes.
I don't know how often you meet with your friends and it leads to you singing. Some of you have probably done
that. The lights
that.
Have to go down there or the Holy Spirit won't do it.
I just love
won't
that.
Come.
Right.
Hey, Elizabeth. Hey, bless her to you. Blah, blah, blah. Music on. Hey, I'm going to sing to you, Jesus. Like what?
Yeah, what? That's
then
what I'm
you
asking.
You show up into someone's house in the next few weeks as you discover Christmas. Show up to someone who's got some faith. They confirm some things in you and you just start belting it out in song. You allow the Holy Spirit to stir something up in you. What does that start to do for you in discovering this?
Or your friend is going to do something really stupid and you say, you know,
please don't do
please
that.
Please don't do that.
The other way to respond, so one is maybe you just need to sort of recognize you've been going to the wrong people. People that aren't going to confirm your faith, they're going to confirm your doubt. But the other thing I really feel is on my heart today is that in this room, some people need to receive that anointing of Elizabeth.
Ah, I thought he was going to say some people need to receive Christ. I thought that would be the, oh, please let that happen. But nope.
Well,
it's,
you
need to receive the anointing of Elizabeth. That's what has been put on his heart.
Some people need to be in that place where if I walk into your house and say, excuse me, I'd like to talk to you about something that God is speaking to me about, you would jump out and burst out prophetic words right away. They'd just start coming at me with like the joy and the excitement. Elizabeth is a very unlikely candidate for this in this moment. There's every reason for her to want to say to Mary all the things that are...
Actually, she's not an unlikely candidate. She's been given a baby at 85 years old. And she's the one that God appointed to be the sign for Mary. And her son is going to be the precursor of the Messiah. She's not an unlikely candidate. And you don't speak prophetically when someone comes to you. You assess what they're saying and
with
you measure
mind.
It with your mind and with Scripture and see if it's in keeping with what God has said. That's
going on in her life. Mary comes in. Hey, Elizabeth, nice to see you. Oh, Mary, it's so great to see you. Can I tell you all about my baby? Yeah, I heard yours is the Son of God. But listen, I've been walking through pregnancy, and it's been really awesome. And I've got like, it's a 6-month now, and I'm getting ready. And he's actually been, he's a pretty big deal. And lots of people really like hearing about the story of the angels around here. And John's been writing it out because he can't, Zechariah's been writing it out because he can't speak. And it's been really exciting to be part of that. Anyways, Mary, how can I help you with this little baby? Because I've got my important one. What about yours? But Elizabeth puts her whole life on hold. Everything she's been waiting for is right there in her body, ready to turn into a baby that she's been waiting for her whole life. And though that is still the reality, we don't hear her talk about her baby once.
I'm just creeped out by this.
So when someone comes to you with their dreams, don't talk about your
really
dreams.
Good to see you, my name.
Ah!
Rising up the next. So, the number that's landed in my head is anyone 40 and up.
Wait, I missed.
An older person in this church and just say, what do you think? Bah!
I think that, like, this should
but
come to an
says,
end.
But just Mary, you need me right now.
Yeah,
we
lost.
You up a few
I think we know where he's going.
God is doing a great work in
you. And I just touched the screen the wrong way, and we backed up off the off the place where we were. So you're probably right. This is too much. I'm done. I'm finished. I think we've heard. That music, that's so manipulative, putting the music in the background when you're finishing up your sermon.
I mean, it does, it manipulates me in the wrong way. Like, whenever I hear music like that, it just makes me angry. And I don't feel any guard dreams. And I get really, really bitter. And I want to go away from what counts as modern Christianity and go into a cave and never, ever, ever come out with my God dream or with anything.
Right.
So, I'm not a good candidate for this kind of God dream. Yeah.
All right.
So, well, I think this is a good start for the year. I think it's going to be a great year of podcasting.
Next week, I can't make promises, but next week we'll probably look at the Ben Shapiro's talk with
the cardinal.
The bishop.
Yeah, or the bishop. And I hope next week to reveal the word of the podcast.
Oh, the word for the year?
The word for the year.
What year? What word has God... We're waiting for God to really lay... He's laid a few options on our hearts, but...
And the options so far are sparkle, obviously. decrease. That's kind of my favorite. The word for this year is going to be decrease.
Decelerate.
Why? Because I want to decrease the amount of food that I'm eating, and I also want to decrease in the, you know, as John the Baptist says, when he must increase and I must decrease. That's a biblical word.
So you want me to get fat and you to get thin?
Yeah. And then, what was the other one? There was one more.
I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
I thought it was accelerate.
No, it wasn't accelerate. It was, one person said think. That's a good word. Why don't you think about something? Oh, my word, I can't remember what it was. But I also like words like judge.
The word for the...
Oh, that's what it was. Judge. No, I was going to do justice. Uh-huh. And I'm going to use it interchangeably with the word gospel.
Right, okay.
So sometimes I'm going to say justice.
This is a justice issue.
And by that, you're going to have to guess whether I mean whether it's actually a justice issue or whether it's a gospel issue. I'm just going to use them interchangeably.
Whenever
I have a God dream birthed in my heart. So those are the words that I'm praying that God will reveal a word to me before next week.
Or
so
give it. You know, he's already revealed several options, but he's got to...
He's got to send you need someone with an Elizabeth
to tell you which one. Because right now you're in a state of unknowing. You know, you're barely having the faith to give birth to the word. So.
So, well, anyway, thank you so much for listening. And we'll be back next week.